When you think of Memphis soul, the sound of Booker T and the MGs comes up. Booker T. Jones, master of the Hammond B3 organ, is a producer, composer, arranger, and Grammy award-winning artist who plays multiple instruments. For many years, his band Booker T and the MGs served as the house band at the famous Stax Records. Their tight, impeccable grooves are the underpinning of dozens of hits by Otis Redding, Wilson Pickett, Albert King, Sam and Dave, and more. Booker T is an inductee in both the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and in the Memphis Music Hall of Fame. I met up with him at the end of last year after a performance. Booker T. Jones, it is such an honor to be sitting here with you, just feet away from your Hammond organ on the stage of Freight and Salvage in Berkeley, California. Welcome to Here and Now. Welcome to NPR.
No, thank you. Thank you. Here and Now. Well, I like those words. I like, you know, those are big words. Here, Now.
Well, you know, I want to start with Green Onions, because when you played that, you told the audience that you were 17. Mm-hmm. That is an amazing composition for a 17-year-old. It has endured all these years. I want to know about 17-year-old Booker T. Jones.
17-year-old Booker T. Jones was trying to prepare to go to study music at Indiana University, so I was taking after-school theory courses. Yeah, that was the basis for my being allowed into the music school at Indiana University.
Could you ever have imagined when you were 17 that that song would become the hit that it was and that it would endure so many years, so many decades?
That would never have come into my imagination. I never guessed that it would be popular. I personally liked it a lot. I heard it in my little dad's car, 49 Ford, as I was crossing the bridge to West Memphis. I thought, that sounds pretty good. It was on the radio, so I was kind of excited.
And you were how old?
I was 17.
And you're hearing yourself in your dad's car playing on the radio.
Yeah, that was an experience I'll never forget. Yeah. And it sounded good, I thought.
But I think what many people may or may not know is that, you know, 17, you were already playing a lot. I heard stories that when you were 13, you had to be snuck into clubs because you were part of bands, but you were underage.
I was very young, and it was Memphis. It was downtown Memphis. It was Beale Street, Beale and Hernando, and the club owners made their own rules, and I can remember Clifford Miller, the owner of the Flamingo Room, bringing me in at age 14 to play bass. You know, the bass player got sick, and so he decided to try me out. And I ended up with a job in ninth grade, and it was a good job. $7 a night. good job for 1960.
What were you listening to? What did you grow up listening to? What were your musical influences?
You know, I listened to Bill Doggett play Hammond organ. I listened to him play honky-tonk. The way he played organ just influenced me so much. But I also listened to a lot of classical music. I had a piano teacher. I played Bach and Chopin. My mother played Chopin on the piano, and I loved to hear her play. She played the etudes, and her mother was a piano teacher. There was a piano books in my grandmother's living room on her piano, so I heard her play. So I listened to, you know, a lot of blues music on the street in Memphis and blues music over the radio, lots of different kinds of music.
So the keyboard, the piano runs long in your lineage.
Yes, my first instrument was oboe, because I was able to wheedle my way into the high school band when I was in fourth grade playing oboe, because no one else would play that instrument. It's a very difficult instrument. Difficult to make the reeds, difficult to understand, difficult to get your fingers in the right place, but I was able to play some oboe, and I ended up playing a solo that my mother heard on oboe, and they let me in the band as the oboe player when I was in fourth grade at Porter High.
So clearly, you know, a very young Booker T was manifesting his talent with music and with instruments. ¶¶ to talk to you about the MGs, you know, in Memphis around the time of the Civil Rights Movement, and even right at the time of Dr. Martin Luther King's assassination. I know that you and your band and your pals, well, the Lorraine Motel was a big place for you. You're in the thick of the Civil Rights Movement. I'd love you to talk about being a musician, a black musician, and your place in that movement.
My place was somewhat central, I think, because the struggle was very close to my home. The garbage workers were people I always said hello to on Saturday morning. My father always made sure I was standing at the back fence when the garbage truck came down to say hello to Mr. Holmes or whoever was in charge that day. And so their struggle was one that the entire neighborhood was completely aware of. People were being hurt on the job, and the wages were just not enough to pay their bills. So the city was behind the garbage workers when they struck. And the Lorraine was our, when I say our, I mean Stax Records. The Lorraine was our central relaxation point. It was our point where our guests stayed. It was the place where we had lunch. It was the place where we had staff meetings. The Lorraine Motel was our second destination because we didn't have a conference room at Stax Records. So we were very much aware of all of the events, and it just played a big role in my life.
And after Dr. King was assassinated there, did that change?
No, our relationship with the Lorraine didn't change. You know, so many of the songs that became popular for Stax were written in those hotel rooms. A couple of rooms away from where Dr. King was shot was where Steve Cropper and Wilson Pickett would work, and where Eddie Floyd wrote Knock on Wood. And I can remember being probably in the room where Dr. King was with Albert King, because that's where he stayed. They always stayed at the Lorraine when people came, and there was no question as to where people were staying because there was only really one hotel for black people, and that was the Lorraine. So it hit very close to home. I wrote in my book that that the bullet hit, you know, us also.
I'd love you to talk about, you know, this big old clunky piece of furniture, which is the Hammond B3 organ that you are a master of.
You said it right. Big old clunky, 175 pounds. And of course, I've carried that thing up and down to the Elks Club in Memphis, Tennessee. So I know how much it weighs firsthand.
I mean, that's kind of why I asked, because musicians who play the organ, you know, it's not like sticking your guitar on your back and bringing it to your gig.
Oh, no, you have to have good friends when you play Hammond B3 organ. Really good friends. Friends who will be there at the end of the show.
Because you got to take it with you.
Exactly. You got to take it up the steps. Well, in Memphis, it was always, for some reason, up and down the steps.
You've done so much in music, from producing to composing to playing multiple instruments. I want to ask you about your legacy. You're a multi-Grammy winner. You're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You're in the Memphis Music Hall of Fame. I mean, the accolades you have are tremendous. Does anyone mean more to you than the other?
Well, there is one that means more to me than the others, and that is a little trophy that I have in my trophy case at home. And I got it in 1962 in Memphis, and it was given to me by the school bands of Memphis. It was paid for by musicians like me, high school band members, that put their pennies together and bought a trophy and presented it to me at Melrose High School at a football game one night, because I know they didn't have very much money, but they gave me a trophy. My equals, my compadres, my bandmates in Memphis, 12th graders, 9th graders, got together and gave me this trophy. I have it, and it just means so much to me.
Well, your sweet wife, Nan, told me that you also have a really lovely camper van that you like to take trips in.
We do. We do. We like to go into nature. We like to take the long hikes. And, yeah, we go out and enjoy nature. Yeah.
Is that as close as Booker T. Jones will come to retirement being able to escape into nature from time to time?
I think so. That's a word I don't use very much, retirement. I know, I guess I'm scared of it. But that's probably the closest I'll get to stopping.
Well, thank you so much for your time. It's just been wonderful to talk to you, Booker T. Jones.
Well, thanks for coming, Deepa. It's good to talk to you.